Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm Dr. Adam Matthews.
And I am your sex therapist, Lori Watson.
Today, we're having two parts talking about oral sex and cunnilingus today for her. Where do you want to start with this big topic? Because this is something...
Okay, so I need to tell a story about this patient of mine who I had many years ago. And his name was Joshua. Not his real name, of course. We never use real names. And he had this part of him, I call it the mean genie. That's what my husband and I call it when we poke each other, not in a good way.
He called his penis the mean genie?
No. He just had a mean genie.
A physical part of him. This was
I just
want to clarify that you did not name
his penis Adam,
mean genie. That's just what it sounded like. I just wanted to make sure that you did not, because that's a really mean name.
We need to edit this out.
No, I think that's good.
Jeez. Okay, Liz, Adam and I get carried away occasionally. It's hard to talk about sex without innuendo.
I was just checking. Just wanted to make sure. I'm pretty sure that's a big ethics violation. Ethics violation for a counselor.
Okay, I don't know if I can keep going. Okay.
Okay, you're talking about his personality.
His personality. He was sarcastic.
Okay. All right.
He had the mean genie inside. He was really sarcastic, and one of his things was, you know, he thought it was funny. This was the way his family operated, with a lot of sarcasm.
He thought sarcasm was funny.
He thought sarcasm was funny. And he thought these things he said to his wife, which were really cutting, were funny. And he also withheld, like, caring behaviors. He'd be angry with her. And he was often angry with her because of lack of sex. But from her perspective, it was not safe to be with him. You know, I mean, he could cut her down. And it would be like, you know, he'd come home in the evening and say one little thing and okay, sex was off. I mean, she just didn't want to be with him. I know you've heard us talk about attachment problems with sex, and it's a two-way street, right? It's dynamic. But eventually, she stopped performing oral sex on him, not because she was grossed out or she had any other thing. It was just so intimate for her. Mm-hmm. And the intimacy, she just didn't feel that loving, caring connection to him. So she stopped, and she really just wasn't, you know, into it. It was like, well, if I do that, you know, he gets really aroused. She's kind of a selfish lover, and you know, she just stopped. So
did she see it as like validating, like the sarcasm, that she was afraid she was going to be condoning the sarcasm
I think it was more unconscious. It felt intimate. Oral sex felt really intimate to her,
and the sarcasm was breaking intimacy.
It was breaking intimacy, and so she stopped. So, you know, in his loving way, the mean genie said, well, if you're not going to do it to me, I'm not going to do it to you. Well, turns out oral sex was the only way she climaxed. Mm. So now they're with me, you know, in the office 10 years later, and she hasn't climaxed at all. Mm. And he's like, you know, I don't get why she doesn't want to have sex. And I'm like, well, I mean, you don't want to give her oral sex, right? And he's like, I do want to give her oral sex. I'm like, wait, I'm confused. You want to give her oral sex, but you don't. Mm-hmm. Why is that? And he's like, I don't because she doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I can understand your fury at that. I get that. But to retaliate and not give her oral sex, you're shooting yourself in the foot, right? This is complicated because we so justify our petty behaviors and our withholding and our lack of vulnerability by, well, you're doing this, so I got to do that, and then you do that, and then I do that. And pretty soon, they're at sexlessness. Mm-hmm. You know, they're literally not having sex.
And these moves often are not, they're not even conscious. They're just doing
And in this case, it was.
In this case,
he was saying, I'm not going to do that for you.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you think she's going to get out of it? He's like, well, I hear women enjoy intercourse without, you know, climaxing. I'm like, yeah, they do. That's true. But women who climax regularly enjoy intercourse without climaxing sometimes. It's not women who don't climax at all. I mean, are you crazy? It's like, what are you thinking here? And so you know, basically, she said very dryly, not so much for me. You know, I mean, oral sex is really important, I think, in lovemaking. And it is positively correlated. The research shows it's positively correlated to both relational and sexual satisfaction for both men and women. I mean, withholding is crazy. And I know we're going to get a lot of mail. Well, you know, she withheld it first. What do you expect? It's like, I know, but he kept climaxing. And
yeah, but that's a,
this that's, was her only way. That's what I'm saying. It was her only way. And he knew that.
Yeah. But that's also a tit-for-tat relationship, a quid-pro-quo relationship that never works in relationships, right?
It never works.
When you're weighing the scales like that, it just does not work.
It doesn't.
But oral sex for women, too, for a lot of women, is more important because of that orgasm piece, right?
Right. And that's the part most that's... women can orgasm with oral sex, and they orgasm more frequently with oral sex. So even if they don't orgasm with oral sex, it is very arousing and it gets them going. It's wet, warm, and soft, which is kind of the perfect touch for her, you know, because oftentimes she's not ready for another touch. And we'll get to when he should do it, which actually men do it too soon.
Okay.
They often try it because they know it works and they're like, let's get the game rolling. So they do that too soon.
Yeah. I know this is one of the things that I think for a lot of long-term committed couples, I've heard it goes out of their relationships the fastest. And why do you think that is? I mean,
I do hear that.
What prevents oral sex?
I think that oftentimes oral sex is used as an inducement, you know, like this is, you know, I want to please you. And so both in courtship and also the research shows as a preventative measure against infidelity, that actually oral sex is a sexual behavior that couples use when they're insecure to make sure that it's really good and bad. And men, believe it or not, are less likely to use oral sex like in a one-night stand. Mm-hmm. It's like if there isn't any future for intimacy, I guess they just...
They're less likely
They
to
don't
do
want to go to the trouble.
That is interesting.
Yeah. That's all on research, kids.
There you go.
Yeah. But why does it... Why does it decline? I'm not sure I have the answer to that.
Yeah. I think that there's, and you tell me what you think about this. I do think that there's a, when you talk about the power struggle, there does feel a bit of that it's a submissive stance in the relationship, which I don't think is true, but it's a perception submissive.
He's between your teeth. That doesn't feel terribly submissive to me, but.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're saying that women experience it as submissive, right?
I think
men experience it as submissive to give oral sex?
I think that it's a service. Yeah, I mean, like, and so I think that there's a perception, like you were talking about with your couple, of giving in, that I'm giving in to somebody that may, if we're experiencing a strong power struggle outside of the bedroom, that it would seem that it seems like it, if we're not equitable in our relationship, then coming into the bedroom and performing oral sex would almost be like giving in. It'd almost be like
there is a part of me as you're talking, Adam. I just want to scream. You know, I think you're right. I think you're right, but it's like it just makes my heart just scream out. Like, what are you thinking? You know, it's like. This is what makes sex fun, and it's so vanilla. I'm sorry, I think it's just so vanilla.
Well, no,
you know? It's run of the mill. It's, you know, I mean, it's
in a lot of ways, yeah, it should be, but it's not. I think, but as couples spend more time together, if the power struggle goes unchecked, if they don't get caught in that pursuer distancer gameplay,
right.
Then oral sex becomes one of the first things that goes because they. Any sex act is not then in an equitable, is not on an equitable playing field. There's somebody who has power and somebody that doesn't, there's a struggle over that.
I think women, the ick factor, like, is completely overridden during courtship and during dating. You know, they don't have the ick factor because they do. It's like it's overridden by the excitement of the new and the excitement of. Being desired by this guy. And so they give oral sex easier, even though they internally have like a little ick factor about it. And we can talk about the ick factor later, but they have an ick factor to receive it and an ick factor to give it. That's the biggest like technical challenge.
Where does that come from?
You know, I think it's like our mothers told us not to play in the mud, you know, not to put that in our mouth, not to, I don't know. It's like this thing that women, I think, are a little more squeamish than men about smell, about taste, all of that. I think for a woman, it's like, oh, you know, that's where he pees, you know, I cannot say enough. So another little story. And I think I've said this before, but I had a girlfriend who did not give oral sex. They'd been married 25 years. And I said, why do you not do this? We were on a hike, and we had all gone away for the weekend, them and us. And so I don't, because I would if he were, like, clean from the shower. I'm like, girl, did you tell him that? Please tell him. She's like, well, I feel like he would be offended that, you know. Adam's nope. Like, no.
He would not be offended. He will shower quickly. Fastest shower he's ever taken in his whole life.
So anyway, at another hike on the next day, he sort of strode past me and just said, thank you. I said, just tell him. It's okay.
So, well, let's come back and let's talk about her specifically and what's to know about how he can give her oral sex better and how to make it good.
Okay.
Speaking with certified sex therapist Lori Watson from Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Lori, what is an intensive?
So an intensive is 12 to 14 hours of therapy all in one weekend. And it's a way to really make fast progress compared to weekly therapy. I mean, there's just so much more you can get done when you have a chunk of time.
Overcome the challenges in your relationship and your sex life. Learn more about intensives and Awakening Center's other services at awakenloveandsex.com.
At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. Give us a call at 919-587-8018. Find us online at matthewscounseling.com. We look forward to working with you.
We're back. We're talking about oral sex, two-parter. We talked in the first part about why oral sex is so important. So, but let's talk about for her, Lori.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, cunnilingus.
I'm just gonna ask questions and get tips. What makes it good?
I think the biggest thing is he likes it.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks she tastes good. He says so. He loves it. His enthusiasm for it is so great.
Okay.
And I mean, I think that is the de-inhibitor. It's like he just says, honey, forget about it. You taste great. I'm going down.
I was going to ask, how does he show enthusiasm? Obviously it's in wanting to do it.
It's in wanting, right? Yeah. Not necessarily sloppy sounds or something.
Right.
But certainly saying, you know, he can say some positive things.
Yeah. Okay.
Intersprucing them with the positive things would be great.
Okay. Is there a better position? Like, what do
you think? Yeah, I think that, first of all, the bad thing for men is, you know, if she's lying on the bed and he's somehow or another going to crane his neck, you know, lying between her legs, that's not going to work. So getting comfortable, putting pillows underneath her so that he can more easily access her, or her scooting down to the edge of the bed and he's kind of kneeling on the side of the bed, get yourself comfortable. I mean, that's the big thing is he needs to really do that. And for women as well. I mean, she needs to be comfortable when she's performing oral sex.
Okay. So she's comfortable, she's in position, he's in position.
Now what? Okay.
Is there a three-part like step you can you can kind of lay out there? Step one.
Yeah. That's what my friend Joe says. Not Joe, our podcast editor. Hi, Joe. We need to say, you know, thank you to Joe, the editor. Oh, no, I'm just delaying. Okay. It's a spiral.
Give me the steps, Lori.
It's a spiral. But Joe, my friend, says, you should just lay it out there. Lori, tell us. We're men. We need to know. So, okay. It's a spiral. Think about kissing her inner thigh, maybe nibbling, you know, working your way through. Start on the outside with her underwear on, right? you know, breathe through her underwear. This is a tip from Ian Kerner, who wrote She Comes First. You know, and it's like, really start on the outside. Make her want it. Make her beg you for it. Like, anticipation is way, way better for a woman, because that gets her mind thinking like, oh, this is what's coming up. That is more arousing than probably the actual act of oral sex.
Okay.
And then you got to know where you are, gentlemen. I mean, hopefully she'll let you do it with the lights on so you can see and you know where you are. You know where her clitoris is. A lot of men think that oral sex should mimic intercourse, that the tongue in the vagina is going to be really the thing. And like nearly not feelable, you know. I mean, it's just, that's crazy. It's just, it's not the thing.
Not the thing.
That's what every woman I've ever talked to says. Why does he do that? You know, that's you know, there are other things that would be better there, like fingers or toys or stuff like that.
Okay. Then the other thing, because you mentioned this in the beginning of the podcast as well, that men often go too soon. Right.
Yes.
To oral sex. Yeah. So what did you mean by that?
Okay. Like, so if we think about 45 minutes, right? I mean, not before 20 minutes. I've said this, but I had a guy who developed a playlist and he knew the song at 20 minutes,
yeah.
You know? And so she needs to be relaxed. She needs to be warmed up. She's just not emotionally ready. It's so intimate and it's so private and so invasive. It's like she needs to be right. Very relaxed.
You realize that a lot of guys now are going to start setting timers on their smartphones that are going to start vibrating to let them know when to move on to step two.
That would not be bad. As long as she can't feel that, that would not be a not smart thing to do.
Okay.
Another good use of technology.
Yeah.
But definitely, I hear women say, you know, basically, I don't like oral sex. I'm like, why don't you like oral sex? And it turns out he starts there. It's like, you know, yes,
too fast. Yeah.
You know, if you're like throwing her up against the wall and it's a hot time after the restaurant out and you're both half drunk, maybe, but don't start there on an average Thursday night.
Okay. And question that comes up a lot. What are you doing with your hands? What is he supposed to be doing with his hands?
Something. Yeah. I mean, definitely touching her breasts or putting his fingers inside her. I had a patient who they had issues with sex, but it was not about how to please her or stuff. It was more about some other things. And he said, I can get her there every single time. I know exactly how to do it. You know, I put my fingers inside her. I give her oral sex, you know, on her clitoris, and she comes. And the woman was sitting there and was basically shaking her head like, yep, he knows how to do it. You know, and he was so confident. It's like he knew where her G-spot was. He knew that oral sex worked for her. He loved doing it. He was, you know, all of that was like, yeah, I'll bet he does. You know, because he knew where he was. He knew what worked. So, I mean, definitely I would say using fingers is helpful. I mean, I think oral sex for a woman could take 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And so that relieves some pressure on that time. And also oral sex can be too soft for her to get more aroused. So alternating between fingers, between a vibrator, between oral sex, all that kind of in the mix can help. So it doesn't, you know, burden him and it moves her up. And the way she feels oral sex changes as her arousal grows.
Okay.
So it becomes more exquisite the closer to orgasm she gets.
Okay. So you're saying diversify.
Diversify, yes.
Awesome.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what's the communication like? How do you communicate? How are you knowing that it's enjoyable for her? How should they be talking to each other through all of that?
Okay. This is, again, from Ian Kerner, who I love. He does a lot of stuff. I think he has his own podcast, too. And he says, try not to make him feel lame. And treat him to a blowjob. And then before you start, tell him that you want him to give you feedback, to tell you, like, on a scale of 1 to 10 what feels great. And then switch. And basically you tell him, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, that feels great. And just, again, remember the woman's body is so such a delicate instrument that what feels good in the early stages of lovemaking or oral sex, you know, may not feel good later or may.
Yeah.
Or it may feel better. So you got to listen to her and just let her guide you.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys want to say that they know exactly, like that guy that they know exactly how to make their spouse orgasm. Right.
Yeah.
And so talking about it can feel a little intimidating, I think, sometimes, and it shouldn't, right? Because you're just, it's still the same thing that we talk about all the time. You're learning each other, you're learning each other's bodies, and so oral sex here shouldn't be any different than that, right?
Absolutely. And this guy did, but I for that guy, I've probably seen 200 guys with their partners who really didn't know how to get her there. So, I mean, he was kind of an exception. I think one thing, too, is, like, check what's under the hood, gentlemen. So the clitoris, right, has a hood that covers the glands, which is the most sensitive part of her entire body. It has 16 times the number of nerve endings that the head of the penis does. Mm-hmm. It's in a smaller space, and that is really, really sensitive. And the hood actually protects it from being overstimulated, but in oral sex, it's actually the upstroke that lifts the hood of the clitoris and gets the glands of the clitoris. So you got to know where you are and what that means. And that can be sort of the most arousing. But most women say slow, soft, flat tongue. I have so many women who say, you know, he does this pointed tongue thing, and I hate that. So no pointed tongue, flat tongue.
No pointed tongue?
Flat no tongue. No pointed tongue. Flat tongue.
All right. And not thinking harder and faster is better, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is it, right? As she gets aroused, men think, oh, I need to keep doing more of that, and I need to do it harder and faster. Not necessarily so. Most of the time, it's like doing it the same is actually that's increasing her arousal. So just stay the same rhythm, the same pressure, same rate. That'll get her there.
Awesome.
Unless she says, you know, okay, faster, harder, something. And she should be able to communicate that. So listen to her.
Yeah, listen,
right?
Listen to what she says and accept
that's
it.
That's the big deal, is listen to what she's saying and let her guide you. And yeah, it'd be great if you were the guy who knew. Most guys don't. And again, most women change so much, and they change with the time of the month, you know, the time of the day. So let her guide you.
Awesome. Well, good luck, guys out there. We hope this is helpful to you.
We hope this is helpful. It, really specific, and probably not the episode to listen to in the car with the kids ever. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all R-rated stuff, right?
Yeah. Don't listen to our podcast with the kids.
Please don't.
Ever. don't do it.
Yeah, but we hope it helps you, and it helps her too. So
keep sending us in questions that you have. Any comments at info@foreplayrst.com. But also, spots are filling up for Love and Sex 360, our retreat that's coming up in April. You've heard us talking about it. If you're interested in more information, go to loveandsex360.com. We'll see you next time.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4Play. That's 833-4-PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.